feel it in my chest. I feel it in my chest.
That's a, I don't know if that song ever got any airplay.
Not really.
That's a classic. Oh. It didn't really relate to what I want to talk about today. Oh, it was the only song I could think of that was titled Superhuman.
Oh. I mean, we could have done Alicia Keys' Superwoman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. True. It's a little, you know, discussion of existentialism that I want to get to, but I want to talk about something first. I want to get this off my chest, speaking of chests.
Open your titties up.
I'm about to open a whole can of titties. So,
double D's.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and this is the kind of thing now, and I don't know if he watches our podcast. I'm not going to, it's not even disrespectful, but it's just something I'm still trying to grasp why people still do this. We were talking about just kind of, you know, the issue of race or like what kind of, you know, where we're at in society with race relations. And he was talking about something where there was a conference, like a, you know, there's different conferences, whether it's a, you know, damn, I don't know, like, it could be about anything, music conference, sci-fi conference, any kind of conference, you know. And there was a particular conference that was intended or billed as a all-black conference. But yet, there were some Caucasians that were involved and actually won some awards at this thing, which he was not super happy about. But I was like, okay, but what I'm trying to figure out is why are we still in a world where people feel the need to have events that are all black or all white? Because now I get it. Here's the thing. I get it, but I don't understand it. Does that make sense? Like, I get that. Why people...
I think this is going to be a theme for us tonight. But I don't understand it.
So what I was telling him, because he's a very intelligent guy, like, you know, and I get his point, but, and I do get it. It's almost like, okay, to me, I guess the logic would be, well, maybe in history, certain people were excluded from certain things for so long. But is this the answer? That's what I want to know. Right. Because, okay, if it is, well, I don't think it is. It's just, to me, it's not. Because how long does this need to go on? It's like, okay, you want to have your own thing. Okay, well, how long does that go on? And then it's just another form of discrimination. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, when do we actually go for equality? Like, it doesn't have to be... I don't think you have to like flip the coin in order to move forward. You just need to move forward. All inclusive would mean that you go way past the obvious. You have power, well, now give me power. No, it's like let's empower each other. Let's empower everybody.
Right. Let's go beyond those terms.
Right.
And because as long as you, because here's something that's never going to work is like trying to retain certain things that you think belong to you. You don't own any of it. Like, we don't own our own culture, whatever that is. We don't own, who owns it? Who owns it? Where does that begin?
That's interesting. We don't even own our lives, technically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But people, it's just, it really comes down to a tipping of a power balance is all it comes down to me. Which, you know, and this is why I said I get it, meaning on the surface it makes sense. You're like, yeah, screw you, you did your own thing. But that would be like me saying, well, I want to start a record label, but only disabled people. Right. I would never do that because I don't want to discriminate on that either. I think that's a lame thing. I don't operate that way, because even when people say, like, I don't mingle in disabled circles, because that's not how I choose to befriend people. Yeah. I would not choose that, is what I'm saying. But it's the same thing as if, like, oh, well, I only kind of fuck with these kind of people. Well, why is that? Why is that? Why can't you open your mind up and start seeing everyone? Is it because you want the exclusion? You want the inclusion? Like, you know, we're all equally, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
we just
we have biases.
Nothing.
I myself am the type of person where, and I think this is discriminating as well, I only fuck with people that fuck with people. And
I dig it.
That means everybody.
Right. Yes. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Because you're like, oh, I only fuck with these kind of people.
The thing is, it's not that I don't fuck with the people that don't fuck with people. Because I fuck with them too.
Okay.
But I don't, it's not, and it probably fucks with them that I fuck with them, because they don't fuck with me, but I still fuck with them.
But that's the beauty of how you fuck with them.
Exactly. Because
you just fuck with everybody.
I get to, it's like, I guess people would say it's a sort of asexual way of dealing with, of interacting with people.
You're panfuckual.
Yeah, I'm panfuckual. I fuck with everybody. Not sexually. Sexually, I am a bigot. I only fuck with women.
Gotcha,
but
that's...
I'm not, but, see?
How dare you?
Like, it's only because I, like I said, I identify as a lesbian. I'm a pussy.
Me too. So, yeah.
And I love pussy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But don't fuck with me. Because I fuck with you.
But that's what's interesting is it's when you make an all, wait, by the way, who isn't like the term all white party? Is that problematic now? I don't actually know a lot of white people that have all white parties.
Oh yeah, true. Because the last time they did that, they hung somebody. So maybe all white parties now are just the
it's just taking the power back.
Opposite, yeah, it's just the opposite shit.
Damn. Well, anyway,
in a positive to that, at least people think about it. Most all white parties, you're not going to get into a fight. You're pretty much rejoicing. The worst thing you'll do is sweat through that fucking hot ass linen that you decide to walk up in the club in August. You could have just did like linen pants and maybe a tank top. You know what I'm saying? A white tank top. Like don't feel like you have to hotbox yourself. That's unfortunate, man, because sometimes you might not even be able to actually wear that outfit again because you sweat right through that shirt.
And Labor Day is coming up
because your nutrition is bad, and you take too many B vitamins through bread and shit. I'm about to rant for a little bit.
So somebody's hurt. Who hurt you?
Exactly.
Nah, I get it.
That's so right though. Yeah, who hurt you?
Go ahead, please.
No, what I'm saying is like. It's so hypocritical that although there are serious issues within this whole structure, it's somewhat hilarious because sometimes the same resistance that someone of power might get from someone without power, once you feel as if you've gained the power, guess what comes with that? Resistance. And so instead of actually being so absolute about the power that you want, how about say, share some power with me? I'm not trying to take all of it. Let's empower each other. because then you actually can move. You can actually think about how much resistance there is from motherfuckers not wanting to share stuff. It's like kids in a sandbox that finally develop egos. Mine. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And where does that get you? It gets you to people that don't want to fuck with you. And we fuck with everybody.
That's right. Here's the thing that I thought about today when I was damn near passing out from the heat outside. I actually sat outside. Sometimes you got to get a good sweat on, okay? To me, it seems healthy. You get some toxins out of your body.
Yes.
So I was basically in this sweat box outside. And I was having this thought about all these things that we do. And this should lead us right into this existentialism video that we watched, is that the difficulty is getting people, well, if I could teach people one thing, if they can critically think, is to understand that all of these things, even if you go to something like The Alchemist, I think The Alchemist really nails it. But when you talk about all of these rules and ideals of humankind, they're trying to be there, or people are making attempts to make rules and policies and norms, all of these things through that human lens. So they're trying to take into account the human condition, but running it through the human condition computer.
Yeah.
So how fucking redundant is that? You're going, well, we got to be more fair. It's like, yeah, but what's your definition of fairness? Right. So now you're already fucked. Because what is fair? It's your definition? That's why I always said about religion. I said if religion is man-made, it's not for me. Because it's man-made. So someone thought these rules are going to help people obey, and, you know, which is a good thing for a lot of people. But also, you're going to find it's human-based because it's full of hypocrisy, full of just interesting, weird stuff. You know what I mean? But I don't know a whole lot about Christianity, but, I mean, am I wrong? I mean, I don't think I'm wrong. Didn't Jesus, he was cool with everybody. But that's what they didn't like about him, right? Because wasn't he cool with just everybody?
I think there was one point where he got mad at some motherfuckers and started, I think he was selling CDs and then some bootleggers took a CD and they were selling them for cheaper and saying that he wasn't the son of God. And then I think he got mad like a rapper and then started flipping tables.
I
incorporated fact and fiction.
You did good.
But which one is which?
But that being said, let me flip to one other thing before we even get into existentialism, which will also roll into this, is that video I sent you where basically it said stop talking to yourself. And it basically came down to, once again, Alan Watts, you know how I fan the way out. That's right. He said, if you really get down to the heart of it, to the heart of literally and figuratively, he said, think about your breath. And he goes, when you're not thinking about your breath, it still goes on. So he said, are you controlling everything, or are you are you making everything happen, or is everything happening to you? And he said, the answer is much more scary than that. It's both.
Absolutely.
So if you think about the weird thing, if you think about two circles moving out from your center, think about almost a perpetual spinning machine or something. When you move it, the other part has to move. And if you move it back, the other part moves back. Like, it's all interconnected. So that's the way I think he's relating to this is like, yeah, what you're doing is causing what's happening to you. So you are the reactor and the effect. Like you're both ends of it, of the
it's
equation.
Like a comet looking back at its tail.
Right. And that's, but that's why he said time moving forward and future doesn't exist, but it does, right? Like everything happens now, so it didn't happen in the past because it's happening now. So you're writing the past. So there is no past or future, but you, those things happen because of what you're doing now.
Absolutely. And it's your reflection on what you did and what you might do next is what creates right. your timeline.
Yes. So, and he even goes back to, there was actually some of this in the, it was the Nietzsche video where he's talking about going back to being childlike. He brings that up too, where he says to stop thinking about life. Think about how much we do that. Remember, I talked about it the other day. I was stressing out about something. I was just sitting thinking about, you're thinking about life instead of just experiencing it. Think about when you were a kid and you think, do you remember? I mean, I do. Do you remember a time before you had an inner monologue?
No.
Damn, that's heavy. I do. I do. I mean,
my mind was filled with what ifs. And I was, I don't know. I think.
I mean, even at like 5, 6 years old, I know at least up until I was about 10. Well, I was too, but up until I was about 10, I think I was pretty, I just kind of flowed.
I think the only way to know that is to not remember it. Because to me, the not remembering it is actually more of a flow state.
Oh yeah, because you're not basing your present on the past. So what? Why would you need to remember it? You right. could rewrite everything because
now,
at every
now it's
given
it's
moment.
Devalued. I think it's only valued when it traumatizes you in a good way or a bad way. Because that, think about it. That's what memory is. That's what long-term memory is. It's trauma. Trauma doesn't always have to mean that something extremely bad happened to you. It's something that gave enough energy that you absorbed it so that you adapted to that particular thing. It doesn't have to be, because that's the sort of existential way of seeing it. Something happened. And then because it had such an energy to it, you can remember that it happened, because it's usually part of the reward for survival. It's your reward in yourself.
So you're banking it for,
exactly.
for later.
Yeah. That Holy way you can always shit. Pull that survival card out.
Whoa, this is heavy. That is so true. So yeah. Why do people always remember those big things? Is because that obviously had an effect and remains to have. Think about all the little shit you'll never remember doing.
Right.
It was just so insignificant.
Think about it. The only reason why you remember certain shit is because you think that you'll lose it. It's that whole idea that you think that you'll lose it. And so you remember it. And the thing is, there's a reward in actually continuing to acknowledge that something is there. There's a reward in the order. But people don't absorb the chaos of life. And the chaos is actually something that you have to venture into in order to not make your order so stale that you make it unsafe. Think about it. The safer you are, the more you just build up the idea that you want something bad to happen to you in order to acknowledge.
Because it's familiar.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
well, it's something you can cling on to.
Right. I mean, anything that we repeat often is actually out of fear. But the reward is the acknowledgement that you got over something. Because think about it. Every time you start something new, it becomes uncomfortable. the yep. only way to comfort yourself is to find something familiar to attach to that discomfort. And because the discomfort only comes from the idea that you might actually lose. That's all it is. Like, life really is sort of like a game. It's the idea that you'll lose. And it doesn't have to be big losses like death. It just has to be the idea that you had an experience and you no longer will have that experience. And you have to find, the thing is, it goes on both ways. You, if you had a bad trauma, then the rest of your life, if that's all you had, the rest of your life is going to be on me being aware that I no longer have this trauma, because you feel as if the trauma could happen at any time and you're not going to be prepared for it. But that's not, that sort of, in a sense, is the reward, as well as it's your own punishment for not wanting to continue to have other experiences.
Right.
Like, purposely go into chaos. Like, we need to purposely go into chaos in order to sharpen our ability to be like, I'm still something. And it's an ego thing in some ways. It's it's a way of justifying that your presence is important. It's almost like smacking yourself just to know that you're alive. Well, it's such a good feeling. Oh, no, sorry, I was about to go into
this. No, that's... yeah. Well, that's... Alan Watts talks about that in certain systems of, like, working with... I guess would be within Buddhism or such, there would be instructors that all they would do is find a moment in the day to scare you, like to slap something next to you, and you'd like jump, and they go, why did you do that? He goes, because now you're in the moment. He goes, when I do that, it takes you right out of whatever you're doing, and absolutely. You have no choice.
Absolutely.
So, but that's what's interesting, yeah, about that. I think, too, why people hold on to, you know, obviously I'm not touting this as a personal weakness, because sometimes we don't, but I think sometimes we don't want to let go of what we feel is, like, you know, people with perceived adversities that just hold on to them like an identity, you know, like a badge. And it's like, yeah, but you can decide to let that go. But some people, either it could be hard to, but also I think a lot of times it's hard to, because you go, well, without that, who am I? And why do I have to be a hard done by person? Why do I have to be that? Like, and this, I kind of want to segue into this existentialism video, because they talk about these three phases, basically, which were what? It was the camel, the dragon, and the lion, I think. And if I'm breaking it down wrong, please tell me, but it seemed like what it is basically these phases are, you know, when you're young, you don't know any better, so you kind of go along with the rules. You go along with the rules as they've been set up for you, and you don't question them. But at some point in your life, you start going, well, I don't know if all these... I mean, and by the way, this is everybody. This is someone who is kind of looking into this way of thought, is you get into this thing where you start questioning things, where you go, well, why is that? Like, does this serve me? Does this serve other people? Who created this? You basically start questioning it. And then the lion phase and beyond is where you start almost creating your own moral value system based on what you know. And it takes into account all the other things. So it takes into account, okay, there are some good overall arcing, maybe moral values or certain things in society that seem to work. But the dragon comes in to say, but what were those circumstances? Why did those things come about? And why are those necessarily true or good even? Mm. And then when you get to that third level, if you can, you can start rewriting those things, which is almost what I think you're almost explaining in your thought about trauma, it's the same thing. So remember, you always say, people always tell you, oh, you've been traumatized, you've been traumatized. So, and then you got to, you go, well, why do I have to continue suffering though? So that's almost the dragon. But if you get to the lion angle or the end of the spectrum, you can go, well, I don't have to live that way. I can live kind of my own way, but still live within. It's a weird thing where it's almost like you're in your own game, but you're in the other game. You are side game. You're like a side game to the bigger game. You're going, I'm playing in my circle, but I'm still playing by, because I'm still playing by enough rules to get along in the bigger picture game, but I'm still playing my game. By the way, I just have to say this before I forget. This is why these things piss me off, going back to what I said in the beginning, was when people want all so-and-so this, or all so-and-so that. My brain is going beyond that. My brain has gone beyond that. Like, I don't want to think on those terms. And I don't anymore. Like, I don't look at things like, oh, this person is this, and this person is like, each person is a person. You can't put them in any box. You know, but but people do like to be in a box now. They like that group. They like because the group think.
Because it's safe.
It's but who's to say because I'm in a wheelchair, society calls me disabled, I got to think this, and this, and this. And I got to think this, and this is right, and this is wrong, and this is ableist, and this is not, and I should get, and I should have, and I should be. It's like, I don't believe in any of that shit.
I think once you take all that information, that goes back to what you were talking about. As a kid in Camel and absorbing that information and actually knowing knowing how the game is supposed to be run when it comes to that particular label, that particular box, then what you do, this is how you level up, because most motherfuckers go into it mad at the game and just wanting to completely flip it. And then they'll just continue to complain that they lost. That's really what ends up happening. Think about any video game that you first played, and then you play it, you actually sort of have this anticipation for the game, but then you start, as soon as you play it, then you lose, and you keep on losing at the same point. And that's how it feels, and it hurts like a motherfucker, because you feel like, if I could just get past this fucking point, then I know I'm closer to getting past this point, and getting past this point, and getting past this point, and getting past this point. But you got to get over that first part, that first round of, you just started playing this motherfucker. And so don't feel like you want to just completely cheat code it all the way to the end. Like, think about the idea of even creating cheat codes in games. And it's only, like, think about it. In video games, they have cheat codes. I remember playing Mortal Kombat, and then they have certain cheat codes in order to get, like, for instance, think about Contra. When Contra came out,
that's up, exactly down, what
left, right, left, right, BA select start.
Yeah.
So that part was because that was something to think about it. That was something to lend a hand to the people that got too frustrated and didn't want to play the game. Oh my God, I'm about to go down a fucking deep ass rabbit hole. So think about how many people play video games and how they just want to win. They want to get to the end. And you can't go through the steps that it takes in order to master each level. And so you'll do whatever you can in order to sort of cheat the game. To not go through the whole process, but to just start jumping over levels in order to get to what you want ultimately. Just to say that you won. Think about it. Just to say that you won. And that's what we do in life as well.
Yeah.
We don't want to understand what the process is. But then again, we don't want to plan for what we're going to do once we get what we want.
Right.
Instead, what we do is we focus on not being patient with what we have already in that particular moment, and understand that in this moment is the best way to play the game. Don't call out that the game is rigged, or don't call out that this, I'm not going to win this, or there's a disadvantage to it. Because in any game that you first start, the only way that you even know that you're playing is that you finally acknowledge something hit you. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Something hit you within yourself that recognized that things weren't going the way that you wanted them to. So at some point in the way that you're playing, something hits you. You have to acknowledge you. And technically, like you said, in a way you hit yourself. You hit yourself to acknowledge that something needs to change. And it's the way that you perceive your environment. So then what you need to do is trust the process. Like, this is something new. This is a trauma for you. And so within that trauma, you have to understand how to deal with that trauma. You can't just start throwing in, I wish that this didn't happen to me, because it did. Accept that it did. And now from there, now you can take the steps to understand what was happening to you, process that shit, and then go through the steps to know that it doesn't have to happen to you again, as long as you understand why it happened to you. And the hardest part is to understand that the reason why it happened to you is because we are all players in this game called life. And some people try to figure out how to play the game with others, and some people try to figure out how to play the game by themselves without the help of others. And nobody's saying that either one is right or wrong.
Right.
Because nobody told you how to fucking play the game. They just put you in it.
They put you in it, yeah.
It's up to you. You got to figure that shit out.
And but that's where all these things come into play. Even the Nietzsche philosophy of existentialism. You're thrown into a game without a rule book, you know. Absolutely. And now, you know, I have a weird thing about video games because, you know, I remember in college renting, like, when the new Legends of Zelda came out, when I was, I don't know, probably my junior year of college, and I stayed in the dorm during Christmas break, and I played that shit between the week of Christmas and New Year's. I played that shit every day to beat the game in a week. But the thing is, I spent a week of my life, and at the end of that week, I was still where I was, if you know what I mean. Mm. I was like, okay, I did something in a fake-ass world, which is, I mean, I kind of get it and I don't. I feel like video games can be, I mean, anything can be if you want to look at it, but I feel like video games are akin to any kind of escapism, you know, because it's an escape from your real life, your real world. You have these accomplishments. I mean, and I was going to say something that doesn't make sense. And by the way, I'm going to call out my hypocrisy. So I was going to say you're meeting these goals that seem to be meaningless. But I guess you could say that about life in general.
Bars.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. We give purpose to it. So that's what people don't understand. That's what people don't understand about things like this is I think this even goes to we're getting all the greatest hits here. Jordan Peterson style, where he's talking about, you know, creating purpose. And a lot of times you do create your own purpose. And some people don't know how to create purpose. They don't know what purpose to create. So then they become lost. So I think things like video games and things like that are a way to generate a purpose. But it's a digital purpose. So, which, I don't know. I mean, to each his own, but I feel like people could make more of a mark than others, if that makes sense. But I think that all just depends on, you know, what you prioritize and you know, what, but I think it's, people feel like a game is within their control to win, because if you die in the game, you don't die for real.
Right.
So that's a lot easier of a sacrifice to make than
that's sort of
risking,
what we talked about. Go ahead. Risking.
No, they're risking your life or emotions, or to me, it's just like porn versus a relationship. People would rather watch porn because the actual act of meeting a person that you like, and even if you just had a physical relationship, has real world risks. You could right. get heartbroken. You could get a fucking STI. You could get a lot of things. So instead of risking, but this is one thing that's disheartening to me about the world, is it is becoming more and more singular, where it's like people are just okay being by themselves, which, I mean, I guess that's okay, but where does that lead us? Like,
they're not, though. They're not okay by themselves. Because the glasses have, sorry.
I thought you were being serious.
I am. I'm being so sincere. Other podcast there you go. Episode.
Yes.
What were we saying? Sorry.
Well, we were talking about people risking, you know, they don't want to risk being hurt emotionally or physically or, you know, by doing something in the real world.
Right. So the problem with all this is that we think that we're alone, but we're not. Because most of us are so attached to our devices that we're not alone. Even like the cyber world is safe because you can put your phone down, but dealing with real world problems are harder to run away from, because then that means it actually takes an effort to do that. It doesn't take an effort to just drop your fucking phone. It takes effort to run away from something. So because it's so safe to sort of do that particular thing, as in drop your phone, then that world, the world of the phone, is way more important now than the physical world. And we see that now, because now when we have to face the physical world, because we've been so distracted by our phones, by our devices, by our technology, then people forget what the real world, or the idea of this real perspective, is like.
Yep.
It's almost as if everybody's been pulled into a different matrix. And then the matrix of this particular world, the more physical world, the more in your face world, meaning person to person, is now too scary. Think about
that. Well, yeah, of course, because there's too many uncontrollable variables.
Right, and we showed that with this pandemic, the idea that it's almost deathly to be face to face with somebody. Let me get my information from technology. That's weird if you think about it.
No, it's very weird. It's really fucking weird.
Because now we don't really know what to do in an environment based on real physical shit. So I find it interesting now that how we're being controlled by this idea that we forget what it means to figure it out. And so before we had people of authority, of power, there were people that decided that, hey, I'm going to take a risk and figure this out. But now we have other people, just for our own self-preservation, we have other people to tell us this is exactly what's going to happen to this because of this. And we don't realize that to keep ourselves safe is also to keep ourselves extremely naive, to keep ourselves without knowledge. Because if the idea is the world is scary, and you can prove to somebody that the world is scary, then let me be responsible for your safety. In exchange, would you buy this for me?
What?
Why don't you buy this for me?
Buy what for you?
Exactly. Anything.
Huh. Oh, I see what you
mean. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I was like, yeah. Yeah, for a second. That's wait. What?
Because that's really what it is. People. Well, what's people... safety? Like, think about it. If you had immortality, you would not do everything that you wanted to do.
Right.
You think that you would. You think that you would. But the thing is, if all of a sudden you yourself were blessed with immortality, I guarantee you.
I don't know
if
that's a blessing.
Exactly. You would actually use it against yourself. You would be like, you would put yourself in so much misery that you'd be like, I wish I could die. Well, you would literally do that.
Well, yeah, eventually you go nuts.
Right. And the reason why I said that is that you, now you have the responsibility of seeing everybody else go. Whereas you have to stay. Instead of actually going through just experiences, you decide that I'm just going to watch everybody pass.
Yeah. Whereas, I mean, yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, whereas if you were, most people, if they're asked, if you were given the gift of immortality, would you do everything that you wanted to do? The question would you?
You can just do everything.
Right.
What could you not do? You can do, doesn't make it special. Well, but I think that just goes beyond safety and whatever. Then you're just getting into like, you know, just really, really, a really strange place where you're talking about the existence of time.
No, what is safety? Safety is, again, going back to what I was saying, safety is just being able to understand that you went through an experience in that moment and you can remember it because you didn't die. So it's just a reminder that you didn't die. Because every single new thing that you do...
That's trauma, yeah.
Right. Every single thing that you do has the opportunity to kill you because you don't know anything about it.
Well, and things you don't do as well. But that's what's interesting. Anything can happen. And one thing, I caught a video earlier today. I go down these YouTube rabbit holes all the time now. And there was an interesting conversation. I think it was actually Bill Maher and Jordan Peterson, which was an interesting clip. But basically, it came down to the point of, and this I think is related to where we're both going with this, is what is going on, especially now that everyone's interconnected, is that social media especially, and what people want from like powers that be, is they, instead of the individual becoming more thick-skinned, they want to pad the world. They want to pad everything else. So when they bump into something, it's comfortable for them. But it's the same problem from a different angle. It's like if someone says something offensive, you do have a choice to decide whether it's offensive.
Right.
But you can't not say, you can't say that person can't say that. Because now it's the same thing from the other side. You're telling someone they can't have a thought, but then they're saying, well, you can't have a thought either. It's like people have the right to say shit, and you might have the right to be offended. Both things can be true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make them right, either one right or wrong.
Right. So I'm just like, I think when we deal with things in life that we have the option, we always have the option for them to be obstacles or rewards. And I think I guess it depends on how you go into a situation. Most of the times, if you go into a situation that the experience becomes a surprise, it's just kind of thrown on you, then most of the time you look for you look for it as an obstacle. And then if there are things that are sort of that you go into that have more familiarity to it, then you look at it as a reward.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But if we look for more rewards than we look for obstacles, then we only get sort of this cycle of the same shit. And I think it's best at times that we go into life every single day with the idea that, okay, this is familiar, but I'm also prepared for what might be unfamiliar. And I'm actually more looking forward to that than the familiar, because the familiar keeps me too safe. And I don't want a Groundhog Day. I want things to be random. How much time do we have?
Not much, because I got to pee so bad.
Oh, and I just did in a cup.
Yeah, I know. I figured that was going on.
Yeah, well, but you won't know that in the edits, even though we're talking about it. Anyway, I often wonder, you know what? I'm not even going to get into that yet, because I'm actually going to save that thought for a little bit later. Because now I want to get into it.
But here's the thing.
I started the Anti-Fragile book with Nassim Taleb.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at the world in sort of not even a different way. It's sort of the same way, but now backed by, and I know it might be sort of my own bias of the confirmation that I've already seen in perception, but it's not that I lack the knowledge of the other side of it. I actually appreciate both sides. And it's hard for people to fathom that shit, because people have been sort of privy to be one side or all. For instance, when we go back to the idea of playing a video game for the first time and then you lose,
you throw the controller.
The idea is you're supposed to feel bad about losing.
Yeah.
But then what if you got through the game all the way through? The only reason why you would go through the game all the way through is that you saw how the game was played. And you figured it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yep.
If that's the case, then what next? Because you're actually... Most people that go through some stuff and that already know what is to come, you get to a point where the observer is like, all right, give me something else. Give me a challenge.
This shit is
too fucking easy. It might not be easy for the people on this side or the left side or the right side. See how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy for the person who sees that path and doesn't get pulled by either side. It's just you see it for what it is and you play it because you realize, oh shit, I'm in this game. It's almost like Jumanji, the new Jumanji and shit. I'm in this game. Now I got to play that shit.
It's like people that, it's funny you say this, because I thought about it this week, I try to really relegate these things down to myself because it's the only, situation I can do anything about, or any aspect I can do something about. And it is true, it's you when you really look at it and wonder why people run into the same object again and again and again, but then some people seem to flow through things. And why do some people flow through things? And I think you nailed it right there very accurately, is you see how the game is played. And it's like, because like for me, there's a part of me that, I have friends of all types, of all ways of thinking, and my thinking is very fluid. My thinking is very fluid when it comes, especially when it comes to people, because people are fluid. So when someone says, I can't believe so-and-so thought this or said this, we've said it before, I say it again. I always go, yeah, I can believe it. I can't believe so-and-so did that. It's like, I can. Right. And it's because you can't that you meet resistance.
Right.
What do you mean you can't believe? It happened already. Anything, yes, and anything can happen. Like if someone like, a celebrity dies. Oh my God, I can't believe. What do you mean you can't believe it?
Right.
It happens all the time. What do you mean you can't believe
it's supposed
it?
To happen. It's supposed to happen. It's all supposed to,
part of the game.
We're all supposed to not be present to a lot of other people. That's how I see it. We're supposed to not be, there will be days where I will go into silence. It is up to you to believe that I'm still around. But the fact of the matter is, you have no idea until I manifest in some way. But the thing is, even in what physically is the most important part, what if you can't see me? So auditorily, that's the most, that's the most important part. What if you can't hear me or see me?
Well, what about this? I pose a question, and I don't know. I know we're probably about out of time. This might be a good thing to end on. What if, just painting a picture here, what if you disappeared to most people? So say if you had a way, you did like the dude from Shawshank, and you know, Andy Dufresne. Anyway, and you disappeared to a remote island. Like somehow you were able to get to a remote island where you could live the rest of your life. Maybe you got, you know, girlfriend with you, whatever, you got food, you're self-sustained for the rest of your life. You saw no one else. And say that went on for, I don't know, you lived another 50 years, you know, added on to where you are now. And then one day, somebody goes, in about 50 years, like, you know, so-and-so died. Oh my God, really? By the way, it could have been 50 years ago. Isn't that what, see, you see what I'm saying? So, like, something had happened, but you were gone, but nobody knew. It's really the knowledge. So then people know, and they go, oh my God, when? When did that happen? Oh, 50 years ago. You're like, God damn, really? So all that time, you still were there.
Yeah, it's amazing how even people start feeling some type of way about a thing that,
yes,
past is the past. When it says, like,
you know, your great 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 grandfather died, and
if you witness somebody dying, you wouldn't need to explain it,
right?
But then we witness or we experience things that haven't happened to us by someone telling us about it.
Did we just go for full circle? This is how I feel. Yes. I think it's kind of the same way with culture, where people like mourn someone. You know, like the death of some type of aspect or someone taking part of their culture. And it's like, isn't that how we all, like, well, don't eat and don't farm and don't take medicine and don't drink soda and like, don't eat a hot dog. Don't do anything.
Like none of the shit that you have on you right now is because you made it. Like, you.
And nobody owns it.
We all piggyback. Exactly. We all piggyback. Somebody had to tell you that you were you. So think about that shit. Somebody had to tell you that you were you.
What would happen if nobody ever told you that?
Motherfuckers tell you how to fucking play the game, regardless of whether or not you have to you want to play or not. That's what you have parenting for. Is for motherfuckers to tell you this is a game.
Yeah, it would be so wild.
Trying to figure out how to play it. Follow me if you want. But I'm, like I said, I'm trying to figure this motherfucker out myself too. So I'll give you enough of the tools, figure out how to fucking beat these levels and shit. And that's what I'm saying is, as children, we are supposed to be the upgrades of our parents. So you don't have to do the same shit. Go ahead.
No, to wrap this up, I think you have to evolve so much that you evolve back to the beginning. And that's what the existentialism thing is. You get so far out there that you set up your own rules, but you also are still within childlike wonder at everything, but still able to. So you're able to be old, and also what?
Yeah.
You're also able to be young. And stay young.
Got some water.